The crime and corruption that are still the firm foundations of city life have taken on ever more business-like trappings. Paul Kelly, for example, has gone on to become an important leader of organized labor. True, children still die at the hands of depraved adults while plying the skin trade, and unidentified bodies are occasionally found in peculiar places. But to the best of my knowledge, a menace of John Beecham's stripe has not been seen again in this city. It is my abiding hope that such creatures do not appear very often. Kreitzler, of course, suspects that such faith is utterly self-deluding. I've seen a great deal of Lucius and Marcus Isaacson during the last 23 years, and even more of Sarah. All of them have pursued their careers in criminal detection with single-minded devotion and brilliant results. There have even been occasions when we've had cause to investigate some little matter together, experiences that collectively form the chain of my most memorable experiences. But nothing, I suppose, will ever be quite like the hunt for Beecham. Perhaps with Roosevelt's passing, that achievement will finally gain public appreciation. If nothing else, it serves as a singular reminder that, beneath all his theatrical bluster, Theodore possessed a heart and a mind expansive enough to have made such an unprecedented undertaking possible. Just 3 years after the Beecham case, the Croton Reservoir, having been outmoded by a new water system constructed after Boss Platt consummated his Greater New York scheme, was demolished to make room for the main headquarters of that most marvelous of all philanthropical endeavors, the New York Public Library. Having seen a notice in the Times announcing the demolition, I went over to take a look at the work during my lunch hour one day. The task of tearing the reservoir down had begun at the southern wall, on top of which we had faced the final challenge of our investigation, and which was now being knocked away to expose an enormous man-made crater, one block wide and two blocks long. The structure didn't look like much, all laid open to view that way. It was hard to believe that it had ever been strong enough to withstand the fantastic pressure exerted by millions of gallons of water.
The Alienist was written by Caleb Carr and read by Edward Herman. It was abridged for audio by Lauren B. Church. The associate producer was Jan Werner. The Alienist was produced and directed by Elisa Shokoff. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.